Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Conservative.
What I don't like about Washington is they're very nice to your face, and then they take a shiv or a machete and they stab it in your back. I'm a Wall Street guy, and I'm more of a front-stabbing person, and I'd rather tell people directly how I feel about them.
Nobody talk about politics, like, don't say anything, you know.
A marriage that's been through it all.
She has filed for divorce over his naked political ambition.
These are the views of a couple in love. A couple with children. A couple with differing opinions. And perspectives. A couple that survived.
He's kind of like an impetuous guy. In many ways, that's great. In some ways, it's tough when you're married.
What leads them back to each other? Communication, conversation, and a realistic outlook on the world we live in. Your hosts, Anthony and Deirdre Scaramucci. This is Mooch and the Missus.
Hello?
Yes, girl. How are you?
Good. How's Rhode Island?
Up in Providence, actually Newport now. It's absolutely breathtaking. Although I'm staring out my window and they have those like little spiky things to protect from the seagulls, like dropping bird, you know what, on everything. Mm-hmm. And they're literally sitting on top of the spiky things, dropping bird, you know what, on everything. So it's not working up here, but that's fine.
Okay.
How are you? You doing okay?
Yeah, I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Tomorrow's our baby's second birthday, so I'm getting everything ready for him.
So I ordered him a cake, which is coming. And obviously, he likes eating. I mean, I've never seen anybody get more excited over a cake pop, though, right? You ever seen that, right?
He jumps
up and down like he saw like a resurrection.
Like a little bunny. Yeah. I know, he's so cute.
And he's very fired up about the cake pop. So
he's sleeping right now, so I'm sure. Being that I'm calling in from our house, I'm sure the silence will end shortly when he wakes up from his nap.
Well, when he starts screaming, you can invite him onto the podcast.
Oh, that's
so
true.
So I want to talk about something with you and get your reaction. A naked man walks into a store in Vermont, and he just, you know, he's got his pee-pee hanging out. He's obviously going to just picture, like, you know, old school, right?
Man,
Will Ferrell, like, jogging on the street, you know, just walks in. Casually doesn't say, hey, by the way, I'm naked or this is my pee-pee or anything like that. He just says, hey, could I get a venti skim latte, a little touch of vanilla syrup.
He said, like, then, do you know where the coffee's at or something like
okay.
that?
Okay. Yeah. So how do you react to something like that? Is he on? Is it part of the opioid crisis? Is he smoking too much reefer? Is he on crystal meth? Or do you think that we should just go full-blown, like, streaking
no,
naked
I don't
from
know.
Now on.
I don't know. I'm still sitting here thinking about, I don't know if the world is so crazy or it's just because we know about everything now because of social media and 24/7 news. But, like, everything that I read today, I was like, couldn't believe, like, how ridiculous life is. Like, the naked man coming in for coffee and asking for a good spot to swim. Like, is he looking for a reaction? Like, what?
Have a cup of coffee. I'm not going to pee in your coffee, but I'm going to pee in the swimming pool down the block.
It's kind of disgusting, though. You know what I mean? It's like, it's nice to have a layer between someone's, like, penis and, like, the coffee cup. You know what I mean?
Well, I hope that's not the case in our bedroom. I mean, you know.
No, we don't need any layers there. But honestly, just, like, this random old man going up to the coffee counter with everything hanging out, like, his junk and stuff, that's so disgusting.
Fast Efren.
I was right, like, I thought so, you just said that now, and I was like, why
no,
are you saying it?
No, because it's Neil.
I know, but we're out of the
face,
studio, so I can't.
Red face Neil's popping in the vest. That's where now
Uncle Neil
he's giggling. He's giggling like a small child right now after he pressed the best effort button. But
Uncle
all right,
Neil.
Well, I mean, I guess the point is, so at and around the time that you were born, I won't out your full blown age, but at the time you were born, You think there were naked people?
I think everyone knows how old I am.
Okay, so in 1979 then, people were walking into, like, coffee shops naked and saying, hey, can I have a cup of coffee?
Or I don't know, but, like, right as I was reading that, I read that this woman, I was reading a Post article that this woman is in love with inanimate objects and she's about to marry a chandelier named Lumiere. And I'm like, what? You should see her picture. It's unbelievable.
I believe you.
So are they giving her a marriage license or something like that? Or what are they doing?
Well, she said she can't fully marry the thing, obviously, but she's going to have like a ceremony in her house and she's like inviting her closest friends and family. And she bought a wedding ring for the thing. I don't know. It's bizarre. And she changed her last name to Liberty because she supposedly, she lives in London, or no, Leeds, England, and she supposedly was having this ongoing, like, long-distance romance with the Statue of Liberty, so she changed her last name to Liberty. I mean, you can't make the, like, are people this crazy, or what? I mean, what is going on? Mercury's in retrograde. Whoa. Forever.
You know, Mercury may be in retrograde, but I think Rand Paul's entire career is in retrograde. Okay, this guy, Rand Paul, comes to New York looking for money every 6 years, begging everybody on Wall Street for money, and he's one of the few jokers inside the Senate that doesn't vote for the 9/11 first responders bill. So, I mean, what do you think of that? I think this guy's a complete joke. He's a complete hypocritical joke. They just passed a quadrillion-dollar spending bill, but he wants to shortchange New York City firemen and New York City police officers that have, like, smoked melting metal in their lungs from 17, 18 years ago after 9/11. What the hell's wrong with these people?
A shame. I think there's only two people that Disgusting. Didn't vote for it. But obviously, I don't – you know, that's the thing about this. Obviously, people need to understand that it takes money to pay for things like this, but then there's obviously things, just like you just said, that don't need to happen, or this in such of a grand, like, you don't need as much money for some things that aren't as important. You have to find a way to, you know, give a little bit to everybody, especially important things like this. So I don't know, it's called balancing, and I don't think they're very good at doing that. It's like, oh, let's give like $5 gazillion to something that doesn't have anything to do with people's lives or anything like that, and we'll just toss all this money there willy-nilly. But then people can't breathe and they're dying because they were trying to help others after our city was blown to pieces, which in turn was basically our whole country was attacked. And we don't want to approve the bill. I mean, I don't know.
But, no, I think the guy's disgusting. So, I mean, I've given him money before, and we'll never see money again from me for his campaigns.
The world is full of hypocrites. I also read an article. Yeah, but so I'm reading an article about Bill de Blasio traveling for this dumbass campaign because he has a 0% approval rating. No one in hell is voting for this person. Maybe his wife will vote for him.
Right.
And he's using New York City police and firemen as his security detail when he goes out of state. Meanwhile, he is the biggest piece of shit and has zero respect for the NYPD or FDNY. He had everyone turning on the cops, and he can use them for his. See, that's what like really bothers me. Like people like when Beyonce was like going against the cops, and I'm saying to myself, okay, so when you have an enormous concert and you have all the cuckoo la la crazy people that are obsessed with you come to this thing, who do you think is protecting you against them? Like, come on. You know what I mean? People are so hypocritical and backward. I don't think anyone's thinking. I can't read the news because I get so hyped up over people and their twisted views.
Dragging their testicles on the floor.
Were you, yeah, I mean, well, Beyonce doesn't have testicles now. Were you looking at the news last night where they were throwing water on the cops up in the Bronx, or where was it, Harlem?
Yeah.
I don't know where it was, but like,
no,
I mean, that is absolutely disgusting, don't you think?
But I really was in full blown like mom mode. So what was the purpose of why were they doing that?
No, they were just basically had a protest going, and the
about
cops were
though?
There. I think it was an Antifa, like, you know, one of these radical, like left wing groups. And they started throwing water on the cops. And so the cops, you know, they're not allowed to engage anymore pursuant to the orders from Bill de Blasio. The police commissioner is sort of following the orders of Bill de Blasio. So he's disengaging the cops. So they're getting totally disrespected on the street. You know, Bill Bratton and Giuliani and guys like that, Bernie Kerik, they would never tolerate that. I mean, it was like
a
reprehensible thing.
They have to walk around with this bozo protecting him when he decides to run for president and roam around the country. You know what I mean?
Right.
So unfair. No,
exactly. Exactly. So, but no, I guess the point I'm making is, though, how do you change it, though? Because who the hell is going to run for mayor next time? And is the person going to be worse than de Blasio? Like, how the hell do you change this stuff?
Well, I mean, how is that even possible? I guess it could be worse.
Well,
but...
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I didn't think anybody could be worse than Mayor Dinkins, and then Bill de Blasio showed up.
Yeah, but we had, like, a bunch of good people in between, thank God, or else we wouldn't even have a city anymore. We'd be, like, in shambles. So, hopefully...
So, I mean, speaking of, like, really incompetent politicians, the way I had it, and I know AOC, mm-hmm. there's an op-ed in the Wall Street Journal. It's actually an interesting op-ed, though. It's pretty compelling. Basically saying that Democrats...
No, I tried to read it, but I have so many users... I need help with my brain. My brain is not working at peak, I don't know, whatever.
Well, what's the matter?
Remember any of my passwords, so I can never remember my Wall Street Journal online password. So I always want to read these stories and these op-eds and all, and I can never get onto the thing. So I'm like,
All right, well, I get home, I'll give you the password, but... The gist of the thing is that the establishment Democrats and the status quo, the American people are basically done with the establishment. And the establishment, as you know, I've argued, has basically failed the country. They racked up a gajillion dollars of debt, $22 trillion and counting. They've destroyed the infrastructure. They don't put any money towards anything that's worth, like, you know, airports, bridges, or tunnels. Educational system has been blown to pieces. And so the point basically is that you're going to have to beat Trump by radicalizing. And so the Democrats should team up with AOC. So I want to give my two cents, and then I would like to hear your take. I actually think it's an interesting point because Democrats typically do better, honey, mm-hmm. when they pick somebody that's below the age of 50, mm-hmm. like Barack Obama, John Kennedy, Bill Clinton. Republicans do better when they pick somebody that's above the age of 60. It has to do with the way their voters and the base of voters and the participation rate. So what do you think? You think they should go to the left? I can tell you what Trump's thinking about this, by the way. But
well, no, he's hoping that they do because
he is. No question.
If they act so crazy, he'll win.
I don't have time to go with three different names. We'll call her Cortez.
Oh, my God.
I know, he's really nuts, right? And then 5 minutes later, he says, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, after he says he doesn't have the time. You know what I mean?
Loco!
He's too much. So, yeah, he's hoping that they do go extreme, radical left. It'll help him out. And it'll even help him out with people that don't want to help him out, like me, because...
Right.
You know, like today I'm reading about this Miss Michigan. She gets dethroned mm-hmm. because she says something. Nobody can talk like a real person or have any unique thoughts or have an opinion anymore. And I think we're becoming this really boring, vanilla, blanket statement, wet dish rag, blah society. It's like you can't say or do anything. Or else you're deemed a racist, or you're deemed whatever you're deemed. I can go on and on. But this is the kind of stuff I can't take. Like the Macy's department stores were calling silly plates because it says like skinny jeans, mom, you know, and it has like circles on the portions. If you're going to go off a deep end and be in a corner rocking yourself in a fetal position because Macy's is selling a plate as a joke about portion size, I mean, come on. Like, you can't even joke about anything anymore, or you can't have an opinion, a real opinion about anything. The girl from Michigan at one point, I guess over the past 2 years ago, she's a conservative. She tweeted that her college campus has a stand where they're trying, where they're promoting hijabs, and they want women in the student union to try on hijabs. And she's like, "What is this? Like, is it a new fashion statement, or it's not? It's no longer a religious thing, or are they trying to promote women's suppression?" You know. And I agree with that. Like, why would they have that? You know what I mean? They don't have nun habit kiosks in the, like, it's a random thing to do. But to say no to it or have an opinion about how weird that seems, she gets stripped of her title. Is that not strange? So this all goes along with that whole thing.
Yeah, but it's politically correct shaming. It's like the losers that toughed it to me. There was a guy here at this event I'm at, and he's a trustee at Tufts. He heard me speak, and he was like trying to like, you know, well, you know, you're a Tufts alum. I said, hey, dude, I've disowned that university. I won't go near that university. And by the way, you know, it's not out of hatred or anything, but it's total apathy. I mean, the worst thing you can do is feel apathetic about something. You know, I'm like, dude, I got no interest in Tufts. I got 100 other charity things I'm working on.
No, actually, that's the best, most liberating feeling, whether it be about a person or an institution.
But my point
when you
is
that,
like,
care, that's like the best feeling.
It's like looking at the guy, like, dude, I could care less about Tufts. I mean, I never want to set foot on that campus again. They decided that because I supported Donald Trump, that they were going to kick me off of the board at the Fletcher School. Like, I could care less. All they did was save me charity donation checks.
But this is the thing, we're never going back to reality, though, right?
No, it's going to get worse. If Trump wins, there's going to be a full-blown, like, grand mal seizure on the side. Or maybe I just upset epileptics. I'm sorry. Let me take that back. There'll be a lot of distress on the left.
That's what I'm saying. You can't even say anything anymore. It's just a bad situation. People can no longer tell the difference between a joke or a real opinion, or if you have an opinion, they think that that opinion is steeped in some like deep, deep sort of hatred or bias, which doesn't necessarily mean that. I could think situationally, I could think something is not right in a situation, but that doesn't mean that that's my core belief about something. So there's no differentiation on anything. Everything is all lumped in. Like if you say one thing, that means you're this. If you say then one that thing, you're something else. And I just can't live like this. Like I'm reading that Berkeley changed all the things about it's no longer a manhole cover. It's called like a working
maintenance hole or something like that.
Yeah. Like come on, who cares? Honestly, if these are the things that bother you, like
what are you
going to
do with the word? What are they going to do with the word history? Because it's his story. So
right.
What is Berkeley going to do with the history department? Are they going to call it herstory? Or are they going to call it people story? Like, what are they going to do? I mean, I don't
know. Human story?
I don't know. What are they doing?
I don't know.
Because,
but
I mean, did they forget that? They're not doing a good enough proofreading?
In many ways, I would not consider myself a conservative in any at all. And the fact that this kind of stuff bothers me, I mean, there has to be somebody else out there like me on the planet. I mean,
Bill Maher's like that, though. Bill Maher hates this politically correct stuff. He thinks it's destroying the society. But let me ask you this, okay, because I want to switch subjects and get your opinion on this because it's threaded into this. Bernie Sanders wants a $15 minimum wage
for everybody.
Well, that's
another hypocrite. And remember
okay,
the day
and now
I posted
he's upset
online he was a hypocrite? And
right.
Then someone kept... people lashed out at me. Oh, what? I forget what they even said because they blocked it out. But I said, random 4 a.m. thought Bernie Sanders is a hypocrite because he raked in all that money off of his book, but he like is spouting all of these socialistic, you know,
right. So you're saying that his supporters like went on a hate rant against
you?
I remember that.
But honestly, they're blind because the guy made gazillions of dollars off of his book. It's like
three houses.
Right.
Flying around in a private jet.
Right.
But he doesn't want to pay his. He's supporting the $15 minimum wage to put restaurants. You know, AOC's bar is out of business, right? And they said to the guy, well, why is your bar out of business? Well, they raised the minimum wage and they increased the regulations. See, I can't afford to keep the place open.
Right.
So AOC and her pack of left-wing radicals knocked the bar that she got started in out of business. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, so now Bernie Sanders doesn't want to pay the market, you know, the unnatural market rate of $15 an hour. He's trying to pay him $12 or $13 an hour.
Well, there's like a revolt and by his staff.
Yeah, so now they're striking on him. No?
Yeah, they said they can't afford to live.
Yeah,
but
that's great.
I mean, I don't know. So then if he's such a socialist and he's such a bleeding heart, he should take some money from his book proceeds and pay his staff.
Don't you think?
Yes. That's why I love these people. So misguided. I don't know everything. I don't know anything. But I think that if people would stop, take a minute, talk things out, we could probably come up with a great solution to so many of these problems. People are so intelligent. You know what I mean? And I think about all the stuff I have, if anyone could see what's in my brain, they'd be afraid. But like yesterday, I took my nephew to the grocery store to return all of the plastic bottles that we used over the weekend. So he makes a little bit of money and we kind of help the planet out, you know. And I'm thinking to myself, there are so many geniuses. How is it that the left and the right can't get together and figure something out about recycling and how we get rid of garbage without hurting the environment and like a long-term solution about that so that our planet isn't destroyed? And how come we can't come up with something about how to help the people who went down to ground zero on 9/11 and help them in their biggest time of need like they did for everybody else? Like, if we would just talk and stop being so ridiculous, just like it isn't in a personal relationship. Like, when you and I are fighting and we're seriously fighting and we're not hearing the other person, you get nothing done. So we're just in some crazy state of, I don't know what to even call it. The whole world is upside down, in my opinion.
Well, you think Trump is creating some of that? Or
no, I mean, he's right about
symptomatic
a lot
of
things. He's symptomatic of it, but let me say, he's right about some things. And
what's he right about?
I think people want to be too PC. Everything has to be thought about, and nobody can have an original thought or opinion, and you have to be very measured and all that stuff. And that's absolutely no way to live. Nothing gets done. People aren't their true selves. No one has original personality or character, and that's completely crazy and boring. And that's like no way to live, and we can't. Society will turn to absolute dog shit if we all act like droids, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But in some ways, he's too extreme about it, and he needs to tailor it back a little bit. You don't have to be so measured, but you don't have to be so blatant and ridiculous and poke a fire, you know, use a fire poker on everybody's rib cage. You know what I'm saying? So there's no happy medium. It's either one or the other, and that's what's driving me absolutely crazy.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Well, you know, Boris Johnson, as you know, has been elected the prime minister of mm-hmm. Great Britain. People compare him to Trump, but he's had a much different background, and it's he had a different educational set and a different life experience than Trump. But one of the things that you can compare is he does sometimes do some malaprops, and he does sometimes do some outrageous things. But he is also symptomatic to what is going on in Great Britain. So it's not just the United States that's experiencing
this.
No,
it's everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, same in France.
Mm-hmm. It's everywhere. But the other thing that I know is that, well, I don't, like I said, I don't know anything, but what was I even going to say?
You were talking about it being everywhere. You're talking about Boris Johnson and Trump and the anxiety of the middle and lower class.
Oh, no. We had dinner with somebody last weekend or this past Friday night, whatever. And they said something so poignant and it made so much sense. And it really resonated with me and it's true. And I think you actually said this on one of the shows you were on over the weekend, that Trump isn't racist. It's not about or gender, you know, bias or whatever. Maybe in some ways he is, but in the stuff he was saying about the four ladies and the squad, whatever people are calling them, that could have been anybody. He would have said that to anybody. It's that they don't have to be from a different background than him. They don't have to be a woman. He will say what he thinks to anybody about anything. So he doesn't discriminate.
My point, though, is in that, and I was debating him, obviously, is that I don't believe Trump is a racist, and I do believe that to a point, but if those four women were white, he wouldn't have touched on that as hard as he did. That's just my honest opinion.
Well,
people can disagree.
That wouldn't have made any sense. I mean, somebody to go back where they came from if they're, you know.
All right. Okay, so that's an example of it. And then the other thing is, when you're telling somebody to come back to where they came from, and you understand what's going on in the country for 150 years in terms of the racial divide, the racial tension, that is like a very, very rough racist trope. And it's coming from the leader of the free world. And so Trump has changed the game. I get all that.
Did you hear one of our kids yell Pokemon in the back?
Yeah, I did hear it. Yes, it's a good sign that, like, there's a good sign that they're not even thinking about or caring about what we're talking about. But my thing is, if the racists think you're racist, honey, then guess what? You may want to change your game a little bit, because you could still win the presidency. But then you got to govern. And why do you want to govern in an environment that is that toxic? That's my point.
I agree. But I just think that he just doesn't even care about what he says or who you are. He'll say anything to anybody. But yes, I'm sure he's playing to his base, and he's doing that to get the attention of people who are very extreme right-wing conservatives and all that. But I just think they're so right. He's so mental that I think he just says anything that he wants at any time,
You think there's Trump fatigue?
I won't
mention names, but I have diehard Trump supporters that I met with about an hour ago here in Newport, Rhode Island. Diehard Trump supporters. They're like, you know, I'm exhausted. I can't take it anymore.
I can't take it.
I mean, I have it.
Yeah.
You know?
I think
a lot of people have it. No.
I don't remember feeling this tired when other people were in office, but.
You know, the nonsense, I mean, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember feeling like this exhausted. I don't remember debating if I should turn on the news. But then again, it was way, way more boring. It depends what you like. I mean, I married you. I like freneticism and insanity.
Yeah,
but it does get tiring. But that's why I like when you go away for like 3-4 days at a time.
You're being interviewed by the Washington.
You're not listening to what I'm saying.
No, because I'm interrupting now because I got to bring something up.
That it's like very good for me when I take breaks from things. Like I don't watch the TV.
Including me when you take breaks from me?
Yeah, like when you go on a trip, I'm like, okay, so I have time to recharge from your unpredictable nature and whatever, you know? By the way, I had no time to look at anything this weekend. I looked at your Twitter feed last night, and I was, like, very embarrassed for myself. I mean, I can't believe you posted those videos of me. I was, like, full-blown nutbag.
Get some class.
What are you talking about? Are you talking to me? Get some class?
No, that was a soundbite.
Oh, that's Neil. That's Neil firing in the soundbite?
See, when you're not in the studio, it sounds like
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I thought you looked great in those videos. It was like getting 5 to 20,000 views on those videos. You bring the Washington Post journalist into the cash pot, and then she's interviewing you, and you say, no, he's nuts 24/7. He's nuts as soon as he wakes up in the morning.
But you are.
Okay, but I mean, nuts in like a good way or nuts like in a Trump way? Like how would you define
that? No, you're like more... way more innocent than he is, I think. I don't know. Unless you have me fooled.
No, I don't know.
Yesterday I handed you your glasses. Somehow between our basement and your car, you lost the glasses. Like, you're just
can't find them.
Can't find anything.
I can't find the glasses. But how am I going to watch Handmaid's Tale tonight without the glasses? It's brutal. I can't write.
Oh, I don't know. I'll find some.
There's another pair of glasses somewhere.
Yeah, but I think I brought those back to Manassas because I was thinking, why does he need all these glasses here?
All right.
Anyway,
I'm blind.
Little did I know.
I'm blinded.
Fingered it.
I'm blinded.
Blinded.
All right. Well, what else should we talk about?
I think that. Go ahead.
Did you want to say something? Because I was interrupting you about.
No, I said what I wanted to say, but I think that the more I think about everything, the more I'm worried, because if Trump gets back in the, and wins, and he ramps up the craziness, I think it's going to really exhaust people, and it could cause a backlash. Like, there's some people, okay, that think Obama created Trump the same way Bush created Obama. And, you're running a risk now.
Of course, that's exactly
what
it
is. Van Jones called it a white lash, but now you're running the risk that Trump could create the first socialist president. He could be the George Washington of socialism in the United States by accident because of all the craziness.
By the way, did you see that thing whatever, can't even go there.
Let me say it.
Someone posted, I won't say who, someone in his blood,
mm-hmm.
his blood relative posted a picture of George Washington, but it was Trump's face.
With the wig and so
like,
forth.
Come on, you wish.
Yeah, not seen that before.
Wish, buddy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I know. Well, what I was going to say about that, it's like going from like one boyfriend to the next, usually when you have a boyfriend that's like a certain type, if he's like very quiet or something, and then you move on to the next one, you're like, oh my God, no more with the quiet, So then you go on to like the loud buffoon. And then after like the loud buffoon, you're like, okay, I got to tone it down a little bit, but I'm not going to go back to like the quiet guy. I'm going to go
I'm hoping that you stick with the loud buffoon, honey. I'm hoping that that'll be your choice.
Blown.
On a cold basis. Jesus Christ, he's fucking attack him. It's like unbelievable.
Is that right, a real talk? Is that you saying that now?
No, that's Uncle Neil doing his shit. If I could get in the studio right now.
I would fucking fire Neil in like a heartbeat.
Yeah, I would hit Neil with a fucking bus.
Oh my God.
All right, so
we talk about sex
the Mueller
at some
testimony.
Point.
We're not going to talk about sex right now because I got the Mueller testimony coming up. So
I mean, I laughed when I read that he's going to read the, like, are you kidding me? You're going to sit there and read the report? Like, what
No. He's going to say in his testimony, I submit to you as part of this testimony, the report, and here's the report. He's not going to read the entire 488 pages.
Yes, that's what basically he said.
All right, well, if he's doing that, it's going to be a pretty long testimony.
Wait, am I wrong? I mean, can Neil chime in?
I don't know.
Yeah, so originally that's what I thought too. The more I read into it, sounds like he's just going to keep referring back to his report. So he'll be like, on page 5, I said, quote, da 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 da. He won't answer any questions.
Right, like, no unique, no original,
no, unique,
no new.
Yeah, no.
He's going to quote himself.
Right, but he did say that,
that's
though.
That's pretty ridiculous.
No, but he did say that. He did say in his opening press conference, his first press conference since the report was released, that he was directionally going in that direction. So, I don't know. I mean, look, here's the bottom line.
I'm too busy watching a video of Trump meeting the bride at that wedding this weekend, and he's, like, looking her up and down, like.
He was trying to kiss her. You see him trying to move on her? He was moving on her like a bitch.
Baby Trump.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. But I mean, my only point, I think this is people can say what they want, but the hypocrisy is off the charts. He's speaking about Obama and the soaring deficits, and he's railing on Obama on Twitter, and he railed on him in 2011, 12, and 13 on Twitter, deficit, deficit, deficit. He's blown the cap off of the deficits. We're going to the moon, and the Republicans want national defense, and they also want tax cuts. At the same time, the Democrats want massive social spending. So these guys said, okay, great. It's like, know, I don't know. It'd be like telling James, here you go, babe, unlimited cake pops, go nuts. No, I don't know. I don't know what these people are doing, you know? So, I mean, but somebody's have to live with it. Like, there will be a reckoning where the dollar will continue to get devalued and the middle and lower class, their living standards will go lower. They're not going to be able to sustain this. I mean, unless they start drilling for oil in all the parklands and just suck the oil out, use it to pay off the debt.
I don't know. I'm so tired I can't even answer your questions. All the speculating, I guess we just have to live through it and see what happens. Other than that, I don't know. Too tired.
Right. Well, you're having a nice birthday celebration for your man tomorrow?
Yeah, hopefully you'll be there.
Was that like a shot from the beginning, or what are we going to do? You think,
no, you know what I realized today? I was like, yeah. Maybe I'm on the road to healing, because I didn't even realize that yesterday was, or whenever, was July 21st, which was like the day of infamy. So
the day of infamy? Oh, you mean my White House press conference? The day of infamy?
So I feel like I'm getting better, because normally that would be like a day of like my head would be on fire. I didn't even say anything mean to you.
Right. Trigger point. It's like punch me in the head.
Right.
Smack me with something.
My testicles are a lot smaller than Jim's.
Right. That's true. My testicles are, what was the name of that little thing? What do they call that thing? The gibbon?
Yeah,
my testicles are the size of a gibbon. That was a quick reaction, though, last week. You were very proud of me. I went from grapefruit testicles to, like, gibbon-sized testicles in less than 7 seconds. No?
Yeah, well, you better recognize.
All right, well, look, I mean, the bottom line is I love you very much, and I am thrilled that the kid is turning 2 tomorrow, and he's a little bambino, and as you call him, he's Mr. Abundant Sunshine, so. He's doing great, thank God.
Yeah, Mr. Abundant Sunshine is waiting for me to get him out of his crib, so I got to hang.
All right. Well, I love you, babe, and we will reconvene in studio next week. We have a comedian coming in, and so we're going to have a little bit of fun and talk about how you get your career started as a stand-up comedian, which obviously...
Oh, I guess you'll tell me later.
Yeah. No, her name is Molly Madison, so she has her
Molly
own...
Molly Madison?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Nice to tell me.
So she's coming in, and she's... She's going to be in studio. And Neil, what time do we book her, Neil?
She's coming in at 3 o'clock next week here in New York.
3 o'clock. All right. So we're going to talk about how you get life started as a stand-up comedian. Like, what was the name of the thing? Maisel? Miss Maisel?
Yeah. Marvelous Miss
Maisel. The Marvelous Miss Maisel. So if worse comes to worse, if Skybridge blows up or you get tired of mothering, we can learn stand-up.
Oh, all right. Well... I'm already good at that. I don't even need to.
You're good at stand up. You're good at stand up when I'm the straight man and you're kicking me in my gibbon sized nuts. That's when you're good at it. All right.
Wait,
well,
Molly Madison. I think I was confusing her with somebody else.
Who are you thinking it was?
I was thinking of Molly. There's like a deaf comedian.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it's not her.
You know, isn't her name Molly?
I'm not sure.
Or Matt. You don't know who I'm talking about?
No. Not sure.
Okay. Molly Matlin? No. Molly? I don't even know. All right. Forget it.
All right. Well, anyway, I think we'll have a lot of fun, and I'm looking forward to it.
All right.
And I'll see you tonight.
Okay. See everybody next Tuesday with Molly Madison. We'll find out who she is.
All right. God bless.
Bye.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.